Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Dort Podcast. It's the Dort Podcast.
It's Rich Keefe.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs, a.k.a. Roman Von Domon. It's Rick Dalton Von Dick Ralton. All hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm tired today.
You're tired.
You had
a late film last night.
I had a late film. Didn't get home until like 1:20 a.m.
A.m. All right. Hey, you started the movie one day, finished it the next.
Yep, sure did, Rich.
Okay.
Went to the movies. It was supposed to be a 9:30 start time. Walked out of the theater at like, you know.
I'm telling you, it's a real problem. The half hour of previews for every movie is a real problem.
Yeah, it's awful.
And I know we don't do a lot of politics on the show, but they've been doing the Democratic convention or the Democratic what the hell do you call it?
The debates.
Debates. Thank you.
Yep.
Debates. Got there just before you did. So they've been doing the debates, and my platform would probably be two things. One, get rid of a half hour previews. When the movie says it starts at 10, it's going to start at 10.
That'd be like the movie thing should start. Like that's when the movie should start.
My second real point, I think that would get me elected, was if you give me 4 years, I can put a man on the moon.
Yeah. What's up with that?
What do you think of that?
Well, or can you, just put together a film that,
you know what, Ryan, I can put a woman on the moon. Who's done that?
There was a joke there that I'm not going to tell.
Good.
We put chimpanzees in space.
we put a baboon out in the outer space. He didn't have a whole lot to say about it.
No, he didn't.
We're firing animals up in there, but that's again for another time. But those would be my two things. Movie starts on time. We step on the moon. We take over the universe. That kind of thing. That's what would get me elected.
And then we guard it. So we become the guardians of the galaxy.
Correct.
Right.
That would be a great pitch. I'd have Star-Lord. I'd have Rocket, Drax. They'd all be in my corner.
Mm-hmm.
Gamora, VP. Yeah, it's a very popular film. I think it could work.
It could work.
Ryan, I think, not to give too much away for the topic du jour, but we might have another Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom on our hands. That's the early buzz.
I think the important thing that we need to set a boundary right now.
Yeah.
No matter what happens in the next hour or so.
Uh-huh.
At the end of it, you and I, we shake hands, we walk out of here, we're still friends.
I just want you to know that I love you very much.
I do, no matter what.
Everything that I say is going to come from a very special place.
Yep.
I want you to know that.
I want you to know that there is shared concern on my side.
Ooh,
we're going to do a lot of I talk. We're not going to do a lot of you talk.
Okay,
you. We're going to say I. We're going to like put it on ourselves.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
A lot of constructive banter that's going to happen here.
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, Happy Time Murders was also pretty contentious.
Hellboy.
I did not care for Hellboy. So we'll get into it. But Ryan, we have actually a good chunk of news this week. So let's do it. Things first, have you started watching The Boys on Amazon?
Boy, howdy. Right. Have I? There's 8 episodes. I'm halfway through. I've seen 4 episodes.
Yeah.
And again, not to give too much away, my wife was very upset that she could have been home. In the time it took us to see that movie, we could have finished The Boys.
You could have watched half of The Boys for sure.
Yeah.
8-hour-long episodes. Some of them are like 50 minutes, 55 or 55 minutes, I should say. And this is, if you're listening to us, The Boys, we talked about this when this first got greenlit a long time ago.
Yep.
The comic book is one of our favorites. It's a Garth Ennis, the guy who did Preacher. He had a run on The Punisher. He's done Hellblazer. He's done a bunch of stuff. A lot of good stuff.
Yep.
All good stuff. The Boys is awesome. I've already watched all 8 episodes. It's definitely got a lot of similarities to the comic. It's taking some differences from it. It's so good, and it's one of those things where if you don't have Amazon Prime, I think there's still ways to sign up for like a free month.
Yeah.
Get it and watch the show, or get a buddy's password or something. Like, that's how good the show is. Like, you need to watch The Boys.
I would say I've seen a couple shows on Amazon, and Amazon does a pretty good job. Like, they sneaky do a good job with shows. And this is their best to me. I know a lot of people, love Jack Ryan. A lot of people love Bosch. Sneaky Pete. I really like the first season of Sneaky Pete.
Is The Marvelous Miss Maisel on Amazon?
It is.
People enjoy that, I guess.
People like that. Yep. So, you know, check that out.
You know what's also coming to Amazon?
What's that?
The I Know What You Did Last Summer TV show. I'm getting some feedback on your end.
And I'm making fart noises into the mic.
Fucking coward. Here we go. You want to start talking shit about I Know What You Did Last Summer? Sexy teen horror film from the late 90s. Sexy teens.
We were sexy teens back then. When did that come out? 98, 99?
98, yeah.
That was the peak of my sexiness.
Yeah, I was the sexiest teen. I was a 14-year-old sex magnet back when I was 14, watching that in girls' basements. Watching
would
that.
You call a sex pot?
I was a bit of a sex pot. Here's my handle. Here's my spout. And I'm going to run right up your dress.
Right up your dress.
So James Wan apparently is going to produce it. That's always one of those ones where it's like you see like a big name director attached and you're like, is he writing it? Like, no. He's directing it. Like, no. It's like his name. He got money to have his name attached to it.
Correct.
That probably not great. This is great news though, Ryan. It was announced Netflix, 3 more seasons of Big Mouth.
Oh, 3 more seasons of Bubble Bear.
Took a nice bubble bear. That show's the best. That show is fucking awesome. We should probably do a Big Mouth standalone episode.
We should do it. We should. Again, we'll Rick and Morty it. As soon as the next season's coming out, we'll do like a best episode, best of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just do the whole thing as hormone monsters.
Or Coach Steve. I can work on my Coach Steve.
Pretty good. A couple trailers too here, Ryan. Zombieland Double Tap.
Looks awesome.
I don't think it looks that great.
I'm in on it. I especially liked in the trailer when they bring out like the Bizarros.
I think that would have been better to save for the film.
It would have. Was it Luke Wilson and Tom Middleditch?
Yes.
Yeah.
The kid from Silicon Valley. Yeah, like that was good. That would have been really enjoyable. So hopefully they have more tricks up their sleeve. And maybe they do if they're putting that out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll still see it, but I'm like, I don't know.
Looks like a ton of fun.
And the first one I think is on Netflix now, but they're getting rid of it soon.
So watch that.
Yeah, so you want to hurry up and watch that if you haven't. Speaking of Netflix, Mindhunter season 2 trailer dropped. The show's coming out in like a week or two. And I know you caught up and you watched season 1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm all the way in. And to tie it in with the thing we're talking about today, the same character who plays Charles Manson this movie is playing Charles Manson in Mindhunter. Let's hope maybe we give him a line or two.
Do you feel like he's typecast?
He looks just like him.
He's Charlie Manson.
He looks just like
him. Of all the guys to look like, not ideal.
Not ideal.
Not ideal.
No.
And the last bit of news that I have, Ryan, before we get to your news, is dropped earlier today was the trailer for The Irishman, a Martin Scorsese film with Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci. Now, Robert De Niro and Al Pacino have been in a couple of movies together in the past.
Yeah.
One of them was Heat, which
I loved. Heat.
I think Heat's, that's a slog.
I love Heat.
I thought Heat was a little overrated.
You know, I'm a heist. You know me. I'm a heist guy. I love heist.
You like a heist.
Yeah.
You were a big fan of The Italian Job. Maybe. No.
It's watchable. It's watchable.
I was just trying to think of a heist film.
Oceans 8.
I do like the Ocean 11 and 13.
You didn't like 12? You know,
Did not like 12, and I did not see 8.
Oh, 8 is...
Shame on me.
Instantly forgettable.
Egg on my face.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to Ocean's 9, however. And so this is also coming to Netflix, The Irishman.
Yeah, odd.
And what was the other movie they were in together? De Niro and Pacino's like The Righteous Kill?
Something like that. It was brutal. Yeah.
So I'm worried about this. I am going into this one not expecting much.
I think these guys are, you know, they're past it.
Yeah.
You know, we're on the other side of it now. Yeah. And I think we're, yeah.
Ryan, that's all the news. Well said.
I don't want to say anymore. I don't want to get mean. I don't want to be mean. I'm going to save all my venom for a couple of minutes.
Well, listen. Yeah. Don't tip your hand too much because the people listening might not know which one of us liked the film and which one of us didn't.
No, I don't think they would know. Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't stand it. That's all the news that's fit to print, Ryan. Let's get to your news.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
Okay.
So, people who are really bad at Street Fighter, boy, do I have news for you.
Okay, I'm listening.
So, what they've done is they've been releasing old characters slowly. It's like Mortal Kombat does, you know, they introduce. Yeah. Street Fighter V, E Honda is back.
Ooh, and I like E Honda.
As you know, everyone who's bad at Street Fighter loves E Honda.
He has a nice move there. It's a easy to use move.
Hut, hut, hut. With the hands going, you know.
You can get 3, 6, 9, 10 combo.
Yeah. So a little video game, personal video game news for me. I've been kind of, it's been stale recently. I haven't really found a game that I've been like, we're kind of like after E3, after all this stuff has been announced, you're going through the back catalog. You're like, there's really nothing I really want to play right now.
Have you tried Fortnite? There's a new game they call Fortnite.
So that's the other thing. So they're releasing this new thing for Fortnite season 10 and everyone's all abuzz about it because they're going back to season one. Like they're basically undoing everything.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Which is kind of interesting.
How about all the money that just got given out for that?
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. So they have a kid who is, I forget how old he is, like 16, just won the World Cup.
Yeah,
he won $3 million. When asked what he's going to do with the money, you know what he said, Richard? You know what he wants?
I do.
He wants a new desk.
Well,
buy himself a desk.
Who doesn't want a new desk?
A nice L-shaped desk.
A nice desk made of gold.
So he's going to invest the rest of it, save it, be smart with it, which is fine. You know,
that is smart. You know what I would do? I would put it in some sort of stock. Like I would maybe get stock in, you know, Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Something like that.
You know what I'd do?
What would you do with it?
Two chicks at the same time.
Oh, I understand that you would. You think you'd have any money left over? No, I wouldn't.
Is that one of the sneaky best lines of a movie? Like, what would you do with $1 million?
100%.
Two chicks.
And like, he was so ready for it too. Like, he didn't. And the guy's like,
the best is the guy. Was it Peter, played by what's the guy's name?
Ron Livingston.
Just kind of looks at him and kind of chuckles, and it pans to him, and he's just dead staring at him, like not even blinking. That's one of my favorites. There is money to be made. There's reports now. Parents are hiring like Fortnite coaches for their kids. Like it's getting crazy.
Well, you know what? I say it's stupid, but at the same time, people hire coaches to help their kids jump shot and help their kids swing and to help. You know what I mean? And like, who's to say you don't have a better chance of making money playing video games than you do playing sports?
And some of my favorite things to say to kids, like, you pay me $500 an hour, I'll tell you you're Ken Griffey Jr. I'll tell you you have the sweetest swing in the world as long as you keep paying me. That's pizza. That is pizza. The last thing I had, so EA continues its run to be the dumbest video game company in the world. They came out today and said that they're not making Switch games because they don't think their audience really wants them to.
Oh, I don't know if that's true.
That's not true at all. Because you even think of their casual games like The Sims. Like, who wouldn't want to play The Sims on the go?
That'd be the only way I'd want to play it.
I think EA just has no finger on the pulse. Have you seen all this? Still Madden glitches.
The Madden glitches are great. Oh, did you see? You know how a lot of people bitch and complain about their Madden ratings? Like the players? Did you see Cliff Kingsbury, the new coach of the Cardinals? He said somebody showed him what he looked like. He says they need to improve my looks. He's like, I look like the Walking Dead out there. So he's upset with that.
Yeah, they are. He should be. He should be upset with
that. He's a handsome devil. So
yeah. So and the other last thing I have, the universe, Richard, is basically putting a Switch in my hands.
How's that?
They come out with Ultimate Alliance, which looks awesome.
I feel like you just stole one, and then when the cops showed up, you said the universe put it here.
Well, now
what are you going to do?
The newer versions of Switch are now boasting a 9-hour battery life.
Oh, that's nice.
And they're like, there was an issue with like their controllers where they were drifting a little bit, and they're like, we fixed that. We'll fix it for free, and all of our new ones won't have that issue.
Okay.
So it feels like it's all kind of coming together for me right now.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get it.
I'm going to have to get it, right?
You're going to have to get it for sure.
And next time we hang out, we can play.
We'll play together.
You know what I mean?
Not assuming this goes okay.
We'll ghetto stream it.
Yeah, we could.
Well, that's my hope, is we can get out of this, Richard, and, you know, have a Switch game.
I feel like this could be hot cold.
Okay.
This could be the hot cold debate.
Hot cold too.
There's a chance, but it's going to be a little bit more mature. I let my temper get the best of me last time. This time I'm not. I'm a changed man. I'm a father now, Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I have to think of my kid.
You know what? Yeah. You can't be getting in fights. You can't be getting scraps with people.
No, that's,
you know what I mean?
That's a thing of the past.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, that's a very nice video game minute. Are you ready for the topic du jour? Ryan? Ryan?
Yes. Yes.
Well, the topic du jour, thanks for asking, is...
No bullshit this time. You just go right at it.
Oh, we're starting? Yeah. Okay. Well, the film that we both saw, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, despite what they say, it is not the ninth film. It is the 10th film from Quentin Tarantino. 2 hours and 45 minutes. Some would call it crisp. A crisp 2:45.
It is not. It is anything but.
I thought it hummed. I could see it a second time. It received currently 84% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's the critic score. The audience score, 72%.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, we begin as we do with all of our movie and TV reviews, non-spoiler. Let me ask you, did you like it?
Now, this is going to take some qualifying for me because I know...
Did you like it?
Huh?
That's the question. Did you like it?
No.
Okay, qualifying. Here we go. We're starting with qualifiers?
Nope. Did you like it?
Ryan, loved it. Ryan, let me tell you this. I've given this careful consideration, which I always do with everything that I say on this podcast, on the radio program, and just in life in general.
In life in general. You always think about what you're going to say before you say
always. It. Yep. If nothing else, that is true about me.
Yep.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is the best movie of 2019. Yeah? Thoughts?
I want you.
And the second best Quentin Tarantino movie and one of the best movies I've seen in my life.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I'm staring at you right now through a Google Hangout, right?
Yeah.
And it is no surprise to me that you have brown eyes because you are that full of shit. You are that full of shit that you will tell me right now to my face that this movie, not only is this movie better than any Quentin Tarantino movie you've seen.
No,
Pulp Fiction.
I still have Pulp Fiction 1. This would be number 2 for me.
You're going to sit there and tell me that this is a better movie than Endgame.
Yes, I am.
You are fucked in the head.
I am telling you right now, it is better than Avengers Endgame, which I also loved. You can love two things. It's better than John Wick 3, which at one point was number 2, still on the podium. It was better than your Hellboy. Sure. It was better than Brightburn. It was better than Dark Phoenix. It was better than all those movies. It was the best, and I have a really hard time seeing it be unseated this year.
What is, if you were to go to a yoga class right now, 0 to 10, like what is your flexibility rate right now?
On me budging on this movie?
Like touching your toes. Could you touch your toes right now?
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, I want you to sign up for a yoga class and get super flexible.
I don't like where this is going. This seems like a long burn.
It is a long burn, and I would love you at some point to fuck your own face.
I don't think you would say that to me. No, I think that's ridiculous. I'm going to cut that from the episode. I don't think anybody should have to hear that.
And if you say, if anybody, for the love of God, says to me,
you're hot already.
It's a love letter to the golden age of cinema. I will fucking kill you.
Did you read my notes? The next word out of my mouth, I wasn't going to say.
Shut up. I have heard. And by the way, the qualifier I was going to say before, I get it. I get what the movie was trying to do.
I don't think you do.
I understand it.
I don't think you do.
I completely do.
Ryan, rank this amongst Tarantino, just to get a sense of it, because you do like Tarantino films. We all do. Where would you rank it in the 10?
I'm not upset with this movie. I think this movie, in the pantheon of Tarantino movies, I think there are scenes, there are nuggets in this movie that are awesome. There are parts of this movie that are great.
Yeah.
As a movie, it's middle, bottom middle.
So you have it somewhere between 6 and 10?
Yeah, it's not as bad. I didn't like Jackie Brown. Death Proof was whatever.
Yeah.
It's better than those.
It's better than,
I'm not a huge fan of Reservoir Dogs.
But what about like Hateful Eight? Like you had to think it was better than Hateful Eight.
No.
Okay.
I think Hateful Eight is better.
Okay. What about Django?
I think Django's better.
I got a lot of love from Django because I did my rankings. I tweeted them out at Dork Podcast. Yep. I think I had Django 9 and people couldn't believe it. But
I think Django. So Django,
I'm like, I just didn't like the characters as much. I love the characters in this movie. Love them.
But that's the thing. Like, I love, as a singular, here's, do you want to know my, can I run down my understanding of the movie? Are we going to do it in spoilers? We'll do it in spoilers.
If you think you can do it spoiler free, you can do it now, or you can wait.
I can't do it spoiler free. All right, do it.
Yep. So I don't think I need to ask you this, but did you feel like it was too long? Was that part of the problem?
I could have cut an hour out of this movie. A whole hour.
So you just shush me?
You just figure this out, all right?
Did I just get shushed?
You don't run.
You gotta come in here. You gotta help them.
The first half hour of this movie.
Yeah.
Like 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Is just people driving.
Well, it's establishment.
Down the same road.
Well, it's an important road.
It's not an important road.
Did you see the right movie? Are you sure you saw the right film?
I don't think I did.
No, maybe you didn't.
Because I
get a different cut.
I tell you, I'm not, hand to God.
No, I see it.
Eight people walked out.
No, they didn't.
I swear on my kids, eight people walked out of this movie.
I think you guys got like a bum version of the film.
I must have because I loved it.
Oh, I loved
it.
I'm going to leave right now and go see it again.
What I'm left with is people being like somehow Tarantino gets a pass for making like a shit movie.
See,
it's not that good a movie.
No, but maybe other people are doing that. You know that I'm not, because I didn't like Django when people like Django. I didn't love The Hateful Eight. Like, I'm not I like Tarantino. I think all of his movies are at worst good, and at best they're like top of the line all time movies.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm only doing the new ones or I'm only doing the old ones at the top. Like, I have Pulp Fiction, I have this, I have Reservoir Dogs. But then I loved Kill Bill and Inglourious Bastards. Those are probably my five.
You want to sit there and tell me that this is a better movie than Kill Bill? Both Kill Bills.
Yes.
Yeah. Fuck that. No way.
It is
no
so
way.
This is so good it hurts. And I would also, yeah.
And I think I said I didn't hate it, but the fact that people are like, this is the greatest movie of the year. Like, you're saying this is the best movie of 2019.
Yeah, well, 100% it is.
That is inexcusable.
So you're saying Endgame?
I would say Far From Home is a better movie than this.
No, it's
Toy Story 4. Toy Story 4 is a better movie.
All right, well, I have not seen that, but I'm not wild about the Toy Stories. So
I haven't even seen it. And I can tell you Rocket Man is a better movie than this.
You haven't seen it. It
doesn't matter.
You can't.
I don't have to.
But you would.
Look at that. Now everyone's
looking at. Now what am I doing? Knocking this over. Now we're getting hot. All right. Knocked over my mic. Are we back? We're good.
Was it too long? Was it fucking too long? Are you kidding me?
Would it be a theater movie for you?
No. Get out of here. I'm pissed that it was a theater movie. I'm pissed. I'm sitting there with Lady Von D. She tells me after the movie, she said, an hour in, if you told me you wanted to get up and leave, we would have left.
Well, that's outrageous.
It's not outrageous. Nothing happens in the first hour and 40 minutes of that movie. Nothing happens.
You're establishing the characters. The characters are great.
You don't need an hour and 40 minutes to establish that Sharon Tate is Rick Dalton's neighbor. You don't need an hour and 40 minutes to do that.
Yeah, they move right next door.
Oh, but Quentin Tarantino does so much with the dialogue. People barely talk to each other.
There's a lot of dialogue in this. But it's like a Tarantino. I think it's what you get with Tarantino movies. It's long dialogue. It's Dialogue City, but it's good dialogue.
It's not what you get with a Tarantino movie. This is not like any Tarantino movie I've ever seen. Because usually
like
there's
most of them.
But there's these shots that last forever and nothing develops.
Well, that's like most Tarantino movies.
There's like a payoff. You know what I mean?
Oh, I thought there was absolutely a payoff in this.
No.
So I would also argue that Leonardo DiCaprio's character, Brad Pitt's character, and Margot Robbie's character were all – I loved all three, and every single scene in the movie involved at least one of them. So I had no – like, I was never like, ugh, let's just cut to so-and-so. I enjoyed the whole goddamn thing. And
the whole thing.
Yeah, there's at one point – I'll get to it in spoilers. There's one point where I was like – All right, we're getting a little long with the it reminded me of Death Proof. We were like, all right, characters are just talking to talk right now.
Yeah,
but there was a payoff to it, and I'll tell you what it was in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get it in a little bit.
I want to say that this year has had some unbelievable TV movie weekends, like combos, like being released. It started with Avengers Endgame and Game of Thrones on the same weekend. Then you had Spider-Man Far From Home and Stranger Things on the same mm-hmm. weekend. And to me, the best one has been Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and The Boys. I was so blown away by the two of these things coming out. But that's another topic for another time.
I cannot understand.
Ryan, what would your, dare I ask, your hashtag dork score be?
3.5.
So that's not as bad as I thought. The way you're getting hot about it.
I can't talk about it until we get to spoilers.
All right. Okay. Do you have any other non-spoiler things to get to?
I think that the performance of Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt was great.
Yes.
But I think
People that were on the camera the whole time.
It was in spite of Quentin Tarantino, not because of Quentin Tarantino.
Well, that might be right. I mean, those guys are good in other things that you know that it's not necessarily because of Tarantino.
And
those characters who are fictional characters in a non-fictional world, mm-hmm. I thought they blended in really nicely. And it was I mean, obviously there are parts that are unbelievable, but like there are definitely parts where you're like, oh, I could see that. And they fit in nicely with characters like real life characters that we know.
Yeah. And I would say the 3.5 that I'm going to give it is because there are a handful of amazing scenes.
Yes,
like
there is.
Vintage Tarantino, where you're like, just do that for 2 hours.
Yeah,
like
more
don't
of that.
Do all of this shit for like almost 3 hours. Like you could have cut an hour out of this movie, and it would have been tight. It would have been the story would have been cohesive, and it would have been like. And we'll get into this stuff when we talk about spoilers for people who have seen the movie. But like, it just wanders around. Like the movie itself is just like it's tedious.
I never once thought it was tedious. I thought it was great. I was compelled by we'll save it for spoilers.
Yes.
Of course, would give it a 6 out of 6. I would love to give it a 7 out of 6, but there's not enough room in the gauntlet, so I can't give it a 7 out of 6. But I couldn't urge you more to see this. Stop what you're doing. If you haven't seen the film yet, pause it. Go do that. You have no other responsibility in life, which is as important as seeing this movie.
Yeah, and if you find yourself after you're leaving this and thinking, oh, what a masterpiece this is, immediately... I don't know. I'm not going to threaten anybody anymore.
Shit in the hat.
I'm
not, what are you going to say? You're going to tell me to shit in the hat? I'm not going to shit in the hat.
I would go shit in your hat.
Shit in your hat?
Yeah.
All right. Let's just get to spoiler. I think you got a sense of how
we feel about this.
Let me start with this, Ryan. This is sort of a little personal little nugget here.
Okay. Yep.
But Rebecca Gayheart is back, baby. Rebecca Gayheart, you probably missed her. She played Brad Pitt's or whatever his name was, Cliff Booth's wife in that little flashback scene. That was Rebecca Gayheart. Yes.
Oh, let me ask you this. Rich.
Uh-huh.
What the fuck was the point of that?
Yeah, so let me ask you this.
Was the point of that?
Was that supposed to be like a nod to Natalie Wood and Robert Wagner?
Maybe.
Because Robert Wagner, and again, I got obsessed with this.
But wasn't that on like a cruise ship or something? But it was like a low budget?
No, it was their like boat.
Yeah, but it was like a big boat, right?
Yeah, but there was only 4 people on it at the time.
Yeah.
And it was Robert Wagner, it was Natalie Wood, it was Christopher Walken, and it was their like guy who drives the boat for him. Guy that worked for Wagner. And they claim that Natalie Wood just like fell overboard and died. Like no fucking way. And
so it's more like I think it's a nod to the movie Overboard.
Good film.
Yeah.
That's a good flick as well.
That's a good movie, yeah.
But anyway, that was Rebecca Gayheart. But I was confused by that because so much of the stuff in this movie like did happen, like the dates and the like movies and the TV shows and the characters, like so much of it did happen that when they just threw that in there, I'm like, so, but like Robert Wagner wasn't a stunt double like Brad Pitt's character was, and his wife, I don't know. I mean, it did give him another little layer, like, you know, it's just him and his dog. His dog was awesome, by the way. And
you love a good dog. The dog is great.
When he goes and he's on set and Kurt Russell's character hates him, and the reason why he hates him is he's like, yeah, the fucking, because his wife is like, that's the guy who killed his wife.
What was the point of that?
Just to establish more Brad Pitt's character.
No, because that scene, as far as I understand it, never happened.
if Rebecca Gayheart's going to get work, Ryan, we're going to support it on the podcast.
Well, the thing is like, is that, so that scene where he's on the roof and he's thinking about what Leonardo DiCaprio said to him, why he wasn't working that week.
Yeah.
And there's this whole thing where like, oh, we're just going to shit on Bruce Lee now.
So
we're just
going to
shit on Bruce Lee.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? I actually like that because
I don't think Bruce Lee was like that.
Bruce Lee's daughter apparently is bullshit.
She is bullshit. She should be.
Hey, guess what? Bruce Lee's daughter. It's historical fiction. I don't know if you stuck around to the end, lady, but that's not how it happened. That's not how it went down.
What I would have been pissed about too is they never actually said his name.
Who, Bruce Lee's?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was, I mean,
they kept calling him Kato.
Yeah, but it was also like, on the Green Hornet.
I understand, but like they never said the name Bruce Lee. Everyone knows it was him, but they never said the name Bruce Lee.
Well, they kept
calling him Kato, which was like a super racist character.
I know, it took place in 1969.
I understand it's a different time, but the movie itself takes place in 2019. We live in the real world.
But so what I liked about it was that it establishes Cliff Booth, played by Brad Pitt, as like a guy who can handle himself. Because there are several scenes in the movie after the fact that you're like, you'd be a little bit more nervous if you didn't realize that he just took on Bruce Lee and was fine. Because I'm with you. At first, I was like, Jesus Christ, nobody can fight Bruce Lee. But it was like a little bit of a back and forth. Bruce Lee did knock him down. Then he threw him into a car. Like, nobody died or anything. It was like, you're like, all right, this guy knows what he's doing in a fight.
I understand that. But at the same time, like, you didn't, if Quentin Tarantino is so renowned for his dialogue, work it into the dialogue. You don't need this whole fucking 10-minute scene.
No, you got to show it. You got to show him fighting Bruce Lee.
No, you don't.
Do you think Bruce Lee would kill Muhammad Ali?
Street fight or like in a ring?
They're in a ring.
I think Muhammad Ali wins.
Like prime for both of them.
Like straight up boxing match, yeah. I think Muhammad Ali beats Bruce Lee.
And I think so too. Well, boxing match for sure. But even if it was like a kickboxing match,
like an MMA, like an MMA fight.
Yeah, maybe Bruce Lee.
I don't know.
No, I know. I was never crazy into like the Bruce Lee movies and stuff. I bet I would like it. You love him? Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Brandon Lee more than I like Bruce Lee.
That's fair to
pick
say.
Of the pod. Couple pick of the pods. Pick of the pods there.
Yeah.
But so one of the things, and we're gonna jump around here, obviously, but one of the other things about this movie was the ending. And a lot of people, I've read this, which I was shocked by. People were like, this could have been a perfect movie if not for the end. And I thought the ending might have been the best part, and I loved the whole thing.
Here's my feel. I was thinking about the ending on my way home from the movie theater last night. Okay. Mm-hmm. In recent history, meaning his last three movies, Quentin Tarantino has done this thing where he's taken, whether it be Django or Inglourious Basterds or this, right? He's taken historical scenarios and kind of turned them on their ear. Now,
and like horrible scenarios. We're talking about Hitler. We're talking about slavery, like the worst of the worst.
Sure. Now, if I'm here's my analogy for this. Okay.
Yeah.
If I fan out a deck of cards to you,
pick
a card, any card.
First of all, I'm all in. I love this scenario.
Right. Okay. Because I know that's why I brought it up. I was thinking about you when I brought this up.
I like magic.
The second you pull that card out of the deck and I say, look at it, commit it to memory. What's going to happen, Rich?
Seven of diamonds.
Right. What's going
to
happen?
I'll just yell it out to you. What?
Are you going to fucking see that card again?
I have a good chance I might.
You will, right?
I have a good chance. Well, if you know what you're doing.
So if a half hour into the movie, right, we've established this. I know I've seen every Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah, good for you.
Well, I think anybody who goes and is excited about this movie has seen all of his movies, right?
Most likely. For sure.
So you set that you set that up. I already know there's a twist coming. Like, I already know it. Like, and it took you two hours and 30 minutes after that to just fucking get to the point.
But you still didn't know exactly how it was going to go.
And don't give me the shit with the character development. And
but there was, let me tell you this. There's a little bit of character development.
There was a huge amount of character, an excessive amount of character development.
This is how I came from it. So I'm just watching the movie. I'm enjoying the movie. I am laughing, Ryan. I had a lot of good, hearty laughs out there. I was watching the movie by myself, although it was a packed theater. But I was, as far as people I knew, it was just me, and I'm laughing out loud, really enjoying my time. And there's the violence, there's the characters that I like. And then I'm thinking to myself, Jesus Christ, are they going to kill Sharon Tate and cut out her baby of 8.5 months and like do that shit and like write pig on the wall and kill everybody? And then it was probably like an hour and a half into the movie, maybe even like 2 hours. And then I thought to myself, nope, like Inglourious Basterds. Like, just think back to Inglourious Basterds.
It took you that long to figure that out?
It did. I wasn't 100% sure they were going to do it. I wasn't 100% sure. But then I knew it like before it happened, but I didn't know it was going to play out the way that it did.
Not like that. You didn't know.
How do you know for sure?
You know it wasn't going to happen. And I think, and this is where, like I said at the top, like this is where I get it. Okay. Yeah. This, I get it because, you know, everything I've read ever since seeing that movie, I get the fact that, you know, Quentin Tarantino loved this era of Hollywood, like this golden era of Hollywood Westerns, and that he loves spaghetti Westerns, and that they brought that in there for some fucking no reason. That movie's the same movie. If they don't go to Italy and come back, it's the same movie.
Well, it's good stuff, though.
It's 20 minutes.
He had to go over there. Yeah.
No, he didn't.
He was like a failing actor here. He had to go. Yeah, well, he did. He had to go over there.
No, he met
his wife. Well, he wouldn't have had his wife.
You could have cut it out. Yeah, she's useless. That character's useless.
She was important. She had some good lines in there.
In Italian that you didn't understand.
No, but I could tell. I mean, I just thought it added a little what the French would call a je ne sais quoi.
And then like, she has three people murdered in her house, and then you don't never see her again, because then Leonardo DiCaprio's like, oh, yeah, she took like 4 sleeping pills. Like, she's going to bed. You go to bed after seeing someone hit with a flamethrower in your pool.
Well, if you put, you know, that many, you know, pills in her, she's a little girl. So like, she's going to take a snooze. But I thought, Ryan, so you, me, and a lot of people that are listening to this podcast are probably very, very familiar with Tarantino movies. But at the same time, if you aren't, I think the whole time you're watching it, there is sort of like this cloud hanging over you. Like, this is fun and everything, but it's about to be disgusting. And like, even if there is a slight twist, there's still the chance that you watch the Manson family in their like at least part of what they did, and it's just a disgusting, disgusting outcome.
And the thing that I will make a concession. So one of the scenes that I really, really liked was the scene where Brad Pitt shows up at Spahn Ranch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which
and
is
they're all because that that built like so much tension.
That was good. And then you saw so many members of the Manson family,
right?
You saw Tex for the first time. It's so creepy.
Fuck Lena Dunham, by the way. Fuck Lena Dunham.
So there's only a couple of worst parts for me, and one of them's Lena Dunham. I can't
stand Lena Dunham. Stinks at everything. All right, yeah. So yeah. You know, she's living with her parents again.
Good for her.
Move back in with her parents. Yeah,
good,
she's
good.
Yeah,
for her.
She sucks. And so the whole scene with Bruce Dern and how he's kind of building, and then nothing happens.
Yeah,
I thought, like, part of me was angry that nothing happened,
but
now, at least he punched some dude in the face. So that was cool. And that was cool. He was like, fix it.
What's his name? Steve Grogan, who's also a real guy.
Yeah.
He's a real dude. He's a whole part of the Manson family or whatever. And yeah, that whole scene. But at that point, you had already seen the Bruce Lee scene, right? I think you'd already seen that.
Yeah, but so they've been talking about what's his name? They've been talking about Cliff Booth, the whole, how much of a bet. Because you didn't need, what I'm saying is like, you didn't need that Bruce Lee scene. There was a lot of stuff that kind of was like non sequitur bullshit. And that's what Quentin Tarantino does. But like, not that poorly. He never does it this poorly.
But anyway, that whole part was weird with Dakota Fanning and then with Bruce Dern, and it was crazy.
Through that dialogue, build a whole bunch of suspense, and you think like when Tex is coming back on the horse, you think, oh, they're going to have it out, and they're already gone.
And then he's already gone. Yeah, exactly.
Which is great. So you know that they're going to meet up again.
Oh, for sure. Definitely know about that. And then I thought that's what was good, too, if you jump back to the end. And so you already know how much of a badass he is, but now he does the acid dipped cigarette. So you're like, well, now he's like not 100%. So like, cause before, if he was like sober or had like 3 beers and those guys showed up, they already built him up to being such a badass that he would have no problem. He would kill 2 girls in Tex. Right. But because he's like kind of loopy, you're like, well, maybe this will be kind of a fair fight now. Still wasn't.
It was not a fair fight. But let me to finish my thought. So I saw in this movie, and this is my own take, Cliff Booth represents old Hollywood. That machismo, Western, like tough guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Margot Robbie, as I've read this in other articles too, but she's supposed to represent like that era of the 60s that's like, you know, everyone love each, like free love and everyone love each other and optimism and all this stuff. And it's coming at the end of the 60s, right? That I get. And then in real life, like her death to in somehow in Quentin Tarantino's mind signified like the end of this, literally the end of the 60s.
Yeah.
Which was like that we know the 60s are associated with this, like the party at the Playboy Mansion, yeah. like the music and all yeah. that stuff. And that in a sense that died with her.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's my take. And then and then Rick Dalton, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, is caught in the middle.
Yeah.
He's part of both worlds and he's trying to figure it out. And he has these basically these two people, because the whole thing is he's trying to ascend this driveway mm-hmm. and just make it to a pool party. He says that. And at the end he does.
Yeah, yeah.
So the idea of the movie is not lost on me.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. You just didn't like the execution.
The way it was executed, I thought it was sloppy. Like there was a scene with Leonardo DiCaprio and Timothy Oliphant when he's like introducing himself.
Yes.
And there's these weird cuts.
I didn't understand that. I was like, unless they were trying to show you that they were talking even longer and it was just like this whole thing of them like maybe, getting to know each other. I don't know.
It looks stupid.
That I didn't really understand that. I wasn't really sure what was going on there.
At the end of the movie, right, when you're supposed to have this huge payoff, and we were joking about it in the car, the girl Ryan and I were joking about it in the car. It was like someone on the editing room was like, dude, you need to fucking speed this up. So they bring in a narrator for no reason, who's Kurt Russell's voice.
Yeah, but he was in earlier. He was there earlier, though.
Yeah, but for like one thing. Yeah, okay. But it's like, right. It's not throughout.
No, it's not throughout, but he was there earlier. I think that, yeah, I mean, he was probably speeding it up a little
bit. And someone's like, dude, we got to pay this off. And like, it's already 2.5 hours. Like, you have 10 minutes to wrap this up.
Yeah, it was a
long time. And like, all right, well, we need to add a narrator now and explain who everybody. And that's the other thing that bothered me, too, is like, you needed to know what happened to Sharon Tate going into this movie.
But I think most people do.
Most people do.
Charles Manson is one of the most notorious, like, evil people of
sure.
all time.
But like, they might not necessarily know. Like, I was talking to people, they got, what's her name? Who's the other girl? Patty Hearst and Sharon Tate mixed up.
Oh, come on. Patty Hearst?
Well, Patty Hearst was part of that whole thing, too.
No, but Patty Hearst was just kidnapped and right. then was like Stockholm Syndrome, and then right. she's there.
They got them both mixed up.
Oh, okay. No, but to me, Sharon Tate, I mean, I guess if you're a movie fan, you know that she was with Roman Polanski. She was a young actress. She was super pregnant. And Charles Manson, everybody knows who Charles Manson is, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Everybody knows. And the other thing that they built, too, that like they never paid off, where it's like, Charlie's going to love you. Charlie's going to love you. And then you never saw Charlie.
You never saw Charles Manson. He was really.
You saw him once.
He was in it so little, I was shocked.
And the whole time, you saw how much he was in the movie in the trailer.
But Charles Manson didn't go to the house the night
Sharon didn't. Tate was killed. I understand. But okay. like, you know, he should, I don't know, like that whole thing.
But yeah, you never really saw him at the ranch. And then so there's conflicting things about whether or not Charles Manson in real life actually went and scouted out the house. They're saying it's possible. So the reality is Charles Manson thought he was going to be a musician of some sort.
Yeah.
Sort of like Hitler thought he was going to be an artist. Right. So Charles Manson
was an artist.
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So Charles, not good enough. So yeah. Charles Manson thought he was going to be a musician. And this guy, Terry Melcher, was a record producer. He lived at that house where Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski moved into. And so he did visit Terry Melcher there at one point. So whether or not he knew he still lived there or not at the time of the attack, I guess is still like up for debate. And maybe even like there's conflicting views on that. But what's crazy, like the what if game in reality is – If Charles Manson sent this attack when Terry Melcher still lived there, who also lived at that house, was, I think, the lead singer of that Paul Revere and the Raiders band.
Yeah.
And Candace Bergen, Murphy Brown.
Yeah.
So Charles Manson's family could have killed Candace Bergen.
And then we wouldn't have had Murphy Brown. And then my mother wouldn't have not known what to do in the early 90s.
What would we have done? And on the other part of it was when Polanski and Sharon Tate moved in, and Polanski was overseas making a movie. So Sharon Tate was there with J.C. Bring, with the Folger Company lady and the other guy.
And some guy was there. But that's the thing. Like they talk about those when the narrator was talking, he was talking about these characters like you should know who they are. And you should. But like, what was the guy's name? Was like Wojtek or something like that?
I forget. But it was like, yeah, it was two dudes. J. Sebring was one of them. And then it was the Folgers, heiress, and it was Sharon Tate. But they were friends with Quincy Jones, and he was invited to go there that night, and he didn't go. Think about that. Quincy Jones could have been fucking murdered.
No, why not put Quincy Jones in this movie?
He probably was. I read that there was a few characters who were in it. I guess Tim Roth, James Marsden, and somebody else all filmed scenes for the movie and they got cut.
There's no
James Marsden played Burt Reynolds.
You're telling me that stuff was cut out of this movie?
Yeah. James Marsden played Burt Reynolds.
And
this guy Danny Strong played Dean Martin. Because they were in the Wrecking Crew. So that movie that Sharon Tate goes to see at the theater, that's a real movie.
What a fucking weird scene that was. I'm not, everyone's got their thing. What's with the feet?
That's Tarantino's thing. That's every one of his movies.
Dirty feet.
He's a foot fetish guy. Every single movie.
And butt shots.
Watch them all. It's feet and butts. He loves feet.
That guy, you know he cranks his own horn to his movies. You know he does.
Yeah, for sure. There's that one scene in From Dusk Till Dawn that he wrote in where it's like Selma Hayek just like sticks her feet in his mouth. Like wait, the actor Tarantino gets to suck on Selma Hayek's feet.
It's gross.
It's something. But as for Margot Robbie, now we've already known this, but she is, what's the word? Like, I don't even know how to properly say it. She's the best looking person in the history of the world.
I think there would, if she were to walk into the same room I was inhabiting, I would have a tough time looking directly at her.
Yes.
Not because I wouldn't feel like I should.
I've been giving this a lot of thought because there are a lot of good looking people out there and everybody has like their favorites or whatever. And I don't even know if she's necessarily my favorite because she's almost like, it's like otherworldly. Like, and as I'm watching the movie, I'm like, if there was like a Dr. Frankenstein and he was like creating like a woman or for example, say you wanted to like an alien race was coming over and you wanted to give like the best of the best example of what like a human woman would look like, it would be her. Like there, cause they could be like, oh, it's like so-and-so's eyes and so-and-so's like cheeks and so-and-so's like neck. And so, no, just her. It would just be her. It's insane.
And there's a personality there. There's a depth of personality there too. That like I'm serious. Like watching interviews with her and listening to her talk.
She's
and
awesome.
I think the idea again was to, that's what people talk. If you hear people talk about Sharon Tate, they say the exact same things.
I think it was like the perfect person to play her. And I guess Sharon Tate's family has like seen it and they were like so happy with it. They were like, you really embodied like what Sharon Tate was like. And you see old pictures of Sharon Tate and you're right. Like Sharon Tate was basically Margot Robbie of the late 60s. And like, who knows what her career could have been.
Well, now we can, if we get
maybe we get
a 5-hour sequel to this movie or like a 6-hour director's cut of this movie,
which you'll watch, it's
ridiculous.
I'll watch it back
to
back.
It's a ridiculous thing. But like, just to going back, like to break down some of the scenes, like I love the scene with Leonardo DiCaprio and the little girl, like any scene that him and the little girl were together.
Well, and so that was one of the ones I was going to say that I was like, here we go. This is sort of like death proof. Like it was almost like so much that like, so the first scene with him and the girl, even me was like, all right, this is getting a little long. But to me, it was a huge payoff when you jump ahead to the scene that they're in together. And then you see her reaction to him being like, mister, that was the best acting I've ever seen.
Right. So when they're speaking to each other, that's great. Mm-hmm. What I had a problem with is when they show Rick Dalton, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, Rick Dalton filming scenes, those are way too long.
I agree with you that they're long, but I think to me there was a payoff. Like I understand why he left so much of it in because I think it meant more. Like when he does the whole scene and he's doing the whole thing with Timothy Olyphant and you're like, Jesus Christ, this is a long scene. But then you see him break and he's like, line. And then he does it. And then he goes into his trailer and he's freaking out at himself.
That's another good scene. There.
Like I thought that was awesome. And like to me, Leonardo DiCaprio is going to win Best Actor for this year.
And he did
because of stuff like that.
Yeah. And there was this little thing like he had a lisp. I mean, not a lisp, but a stutter.
Yes.
When he wasn't acting, he had a stutter. Like there were little things
early on in the thing too.
When he was talking to Pacino. And that's the other thing. Like
Pacino wasn't great.
The scene with the Pacino in the beginning, basically telling him like, you're done. Like you have to go to Italy to do this stuff. And he has like that breakdown in the parking lot and like, you know, Booth gives him his glasses. He's like, you know, don't cry in front of the valet or something like that. Right? Yeah. I think he actually says, don't cry in front of the Mexicans. This is what he says.
Yes, he did. Yeah,
That's what he said. Yeah. And that was a good scene.
Schwarz.
You didn't need to bring him in later.
Pacino.
You didn't need the whole Italy thing. You didn't need that.
Yeah. But the Italy thing, I feel like, didn't take that long, did it?
That was like 10 minutes.
Well, I think it was just, it felt longer than it was because it was towards the end of the movie.
Well, you take out the Italy thing and then you take the driving thing out. That's an hour.
I didn't mind it. I would have been asking for more. If this movie was only an hour and 45, like, give me some more.
But like, there was a lot of long shots, like from far away, but like long.
Like, I know, but
time
I thought
shots. Like,
most,
you know what
of
I mean?
Them, I thought, had payoffs to them.
But like, no, but what I'm saying is like, you would follow some, like a tracking shot of somebody walking from one place to the other, like walking from the trailer to the set.
Yeah.
Like, well, that was way too long.
But don't you want to know how he got there?
And like the lady explained, oh, how do I get to like, was it called like the Western Bar? And she's like, oh, yeah, you walk this way, then take a right, take a left. How do I get to hair and makeup? Oh, you walk right back the way you came. Should be, you know, like.
Well, sure, kind of showing you that, you know, he's a guy. He doesn't really know what's going on. You know, he's just trying to do his lines.
It just seems like there was so much. Okay. There was so much fat and not enough steak.
Well, you know what the fat does? Give it flavor.
Well, that's, and again, to put a bow on that analogy, like,
go ahead.
The stuff that was good was really, really good.
Oh, so good. I loved at the beginning when they were going through Rick Dalton's like acting career and they're like jumping around and they're like giving the audience a taste of like what he was, the show he was on, what he's doing. And that scene when they introduced the flamethrower was fucking laugh out loud funny. When he's like, oh, can we do something about the heat? And they're like, it's a flamethrower, Rick. Like, and then stupid me, I was like, well, I just like saw the flamethrower thing and then was like, oh, that's the end of the flamethrower. And then when he brings the flamethrower
back. You knew that thing was coming back. When he said like he trained it, and I think he said he kept it. I think he actually says he kept it.
I think he did too. When
he's talking to Oliphant, he's like, oh yeah, I still have it. And like he was talking to him about it.
So
and he's like, I was almost in it.
Yes. Yeah. Going back to the ending again, which I happen to love. But when Brad Pitt, and you're not really sure because you're like, oh shit, like, is he too messed up where he's going to be able to fight? And when he turns and he fires that can at I think it might have been Sadie's face. It just,
I laughed out loud.
I did too. It was amazing. That whole scene was amazing. And then those guys like not knowing what to do, or the scene where, because he thinks he's just tripping out and he's like, are you real? And Tex has like a gun.
Oh my God. Just stop.
I loved it.
This is the worst delivered line I have ever heard in a movie. No.
Oh,
no.
Tex.
What does he say to him when he says, are you real? What does Tex look him in the face, pointing a gun at him? What does he say? It's the worst.
I was so
it's
smiling.
Worse than I'm a fiend for mojitos.
Do you want to
know what he says?
Remind me.
I'm as real as a donut, motherfucker.
Yeah, not great. That's not great.
Quentin Tarantino's known for his awesome dialogue. That's awesome dialogue?
Well, listen, 2 hours and 45 minutes, they're all going to be winners.
I think this dude's getting a free pass for this movie.
No, he's not.
Yes,
it's too good. No, and I think part of it is, and like, I don't even know if it's him or not. We talked about this earlier, but Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt are so good. And then Margot Robbie, who's really not in it that much, are all so good. But like Brad Pitt to me, his character was sort of like Inglourious Basterds and Ocean's 11, like kind of combined.
It was just like you have Steve McQueen was in the movie. Remember there was a part with Steve McQueen?
Oh, the original badass.
He was talking about how
he got the Great Escape and Leonardo DiCaprio didn't.
That's what I'm talking about. But like, he was talking about, there's a great exposition where like Steve McQueen is sitting across the pool and he's like, let me tell you a story. And he's talking to this woman who I look like the woman from The Boys. The girl with the Wolverine claws. It looked like her.
Oh, might have been.
It might have been.
Oh, Popclaw? Might have been.
Yeah, it looked like Popclaw. So he's talking to her and he explains to her the relationship between Sharon Tate, Roman Polanski, and Jay Sebring. Like he explains that whole thing.
Yes.
You don't need a cutaway. You don't need like this whole thing like he did the rest of the movie. You could have just done something clever like that with Steve McQueen, the coolest guy in the world, explaining that to you. But anyway, I feel like Rick Dalton was the embodiment of like a Steve McQueen or like that, like John Wayne or like someone like that. Cool.
I feel like your biggest problem with it was there was just too much filler. It was almost like a Marvel Netflix series.
And it was like, it just murked up the whole thing.
Okay.
Like, I feel like there was 45 minutes of awesome movie.
Oh my God. You got I would say 245, but okay.
45. No, there's, in my mind, there was 45 minutes of like, yes. And then when a scene happened, I think a couple times I said it out loud, I was like, yes, like do that. But then you're left with 2 more hours.
I just honestly, I liked how Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt talked. Like they could just talk about anything and I was interested. And like every scene that they were in, I was interested. And I'm not even a big DiCaprio fan. And the other thing I've realized.
Do you feel that, like he looked, this is the first time he's looked old?
Yeah, maybe. You might be right. And because like,
it's great.
If you see him now, like paparazzi pictures, I think I might be in better shape than him.
He's got a little beer gut.
He does. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's like for a guy that everybody's obsessed with.
But he's
like,
definitely he's definitely not as boyish as he used to be.
But I've also noticed that Brad Pitt is legit in like 10 of my favorite 20 movies of all time. Fight Club, True Romance, Snatch, Seven. Ocean's 11 is not one of my top 20, but like I really like it. What else is he in that I love? This, Inglourious Basterds. Like the guy's got a nice run.
Is this in top 10 your favorite movies of all time? Mr. Recency Bias.
Mr. Recency Bias would definitely put it top 25, not top 10.
Not top 10. Okay, good.
Too much.
Now you're making a little more sense.
Well, top 10's a little much. I kind of want to say that just to kind of needle you, but
I'm as real as a donut, motherfucker.
Okay, you're picking out one line that wasn't great.
No, there was another one.
And also, let's face it. I don't think Tex was the smartest guy in the world joining up with the Manson family.
But again, you have a director who's known for his dialogue, and that's the best line you can come up with.
So Maya Hawke, who played Linda Caspian,
you're just gonna move on.
Yeah, moving on. we don't have a lot of time left here, Ryan. So Linda Caspian, and so I've told this on the podcast before. I had I wouldn't say obsession because that's too strong of a term with serial killers, but I used to do a lot of research on serial killers.
Sure.
I find them fascinating, and maybe that's sick about me, but whatever. I find it fascinating, and Charles Manson's sort of like something else. Like he's more of like a cult leader, but anyway.
Yeah. Cause he's only got convicted of like one murder.
Yeah. Like he physically, I don't even know if he killed anybody, like maybe one. And so Linda Caspian, and that's played by Maya Hawke. And she's from Robin from Stranger Things. She's
daughter of Uma and Ethan Hawke.
Yes. And she's the one that just takes off.
Yeah.
And so in reality, she didn't take off, but she was the one that, as all that shit was going down that night, was like, oh my God, this is too much. And she ended up testifying against them.
Yes.
So it's kind of a nice little twist. Like that's basically what she probably wanted to do, was just take off. But anyway, she had like two lines in there where she sounded identical to Uma Thurman.
And
like
her voice was
identical.
And when she's sitting in the back of the car and like, it's like a kind of a dark scene.
Yeah.
She looks exactly like her.
It's uncanny.
Now, let me ask you this question. Here's a question that no one's asking.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Remember that time when Kill Bill came out and like Uma Thurman like said it, but she didn't, like basically like saying like Tarantino's like kind of a fucking creep, or they had a really weird relationship.
Well, because they ended up going out after she broke up with Ethan Hawke or got divorced. They ended up going out. Her and Tarantino went out, and there was like these weird stories about how didn't he like spit in her face or like just fucked up stuff.
Yeah. So I'm Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke, right? Letting my daughter be around this guy, is that bad parenting? You're a parent.
It seems like either bad parenting or those other stories were exaggerated.
Maybe. Yeah, right? But there was like some weird fucking stories about
there was some weird stuff, but if all those stories were true, then like you just wouldn't let her in this movie.
Exactly.
But I don't know. Kevin Smith's daughter was in this movie too.
Saw her for a hot minute.
She was in there for a second. She was one of the Manson family people. Luke Perry, this is his last film ever. He played Wayne Maunder.
He's a real guy too, may he rest in peace and find his eternal rest. But why the fuck was he in this movie?
You had to have him in there.
No, you did not.
I thought it was important to have him.
Hey, Boston.
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell again? Good. Kurt Russell, is that the guy from Death Proof?
That's the guy from Death Proof.
Is it? Because he's wearing like the same jacket.
It's also the guy from Overboard. That's a callback.
One thing I did catch that I thought
Michael Madsen was in this.
Italian scene names. One of the when they were talking. So one of the when they're doing the Italian thing.
Yeah.
They say one of the movies was directed by Antonio Margheriti. Which is a name the guy uses in Inglourious Bastards.
Oh, awesome. See, that's Tarantino verse.
That was one thing I caught. It was one of the names. I think it was Antonio Margheriti, where I'm like,
And wasn't there
a Margariti? Like, remember that scene?
That's great. I think Red Apple Cigarettes made an appearance too.
Of course
too.
They did. And the wolf tooth dog food or whatever the hell it was. Isn't that a thing too?
Oh, it might be. Yep.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with all that. Just another great film, Ryan.
It's not, though.
So after Inglourious Basterds, Django Unchained, and this, is there another thing from history you would like Tarantino to do a film of?
No, I really want to see him do the Star Trek movie. He's been talking about like an R-rated Star Trek
really?
Movie. I mean,
you
he said
Star Trek.
He said if he could do an R-rated Star Trek, it would be his last movie. Like, he'd be done.
But don't you had a good idea on Twitter today about what
I did. You want me to pitch that? Since
yes.
People don't follow me on Twitter.
Yeah.
So my idea, since now we're in the time frame where this could actually happen, right? You have Kill Bill Volume 3. Where it's basically you have the bride and you have Bibi, her daughter.
Yep.
Bibi, played by Maya Hawke.
Perfect.
Because now they look like each other, right? And I haven't figured it out if they're like down on their luck or like or somehow like they're still doing like.
I would assume she trained her to be an assassin.
Right. Because
too.
And the whole idea is that like people are still out there looking for me, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You need to be, and like the daughter's either reluctant or what I think would be even better if she likes it too much.
Oh, that's good too. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's good.
And then what you do, because she left L driver Daryl Hannah alive.
Right.
So now you have, there are in samurai, you know, Japanese movies, there are these blind swordsmen or, you know,
love
who
it.
Are like somehow better, like Daredevil kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And now you have L driver find the daughter of Vernita Green, played by Vivica A. Fox.
I was going to say, because that is for sure what they would do for a Kill Bill Volume 3. Because she even says, like, you
there's
know
that
what?
Conversation.
Yes.
If you grow up and you want to find me.
Yep. And yeah. She will. And that, I think Tarantino's even like mentioned that like a while ago, like, hey, if we did one, like it would be cool. And like, that would be sort of the storyline.
And then you would have basically L driver. And I think her name is Nikki, right? Daughter's name is Nikki.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Create like their own team. And like, what's her Daryl Hannah, L driver becomes like the new Bill.
I would watch shit out of that.
That's a movie.
And then.
And somehow Hitler time travels.
Yes.
But it's like the mother daughter thing, but like.
The bride ends up meeting a man. She doesn't need a man, but she meets a man. His name, John Wick.
But that's a movie. That's an idea of a movie.
You and know? Then they meet Cliff Booth.
Cliff Booth, a very Bruce elderly, ass, an elderly Cliff Booth.
Well, I love this movie. Do you think
who teaches them the ancient art of ass kicking?
You think there's going to be Oscar buzz for this movie? To quote Billy Eichner, there's a lot of Oscar buzz. Could be Brad's year. Could be Brad's year.
I think for Brad and Leonardo DiCaprio, I think yes. I don't think.
I think Margot Robbie could get supporting. Just
she
I think did, this movie's going to get like buzz.
She didn't. Wasn't in it enough.
Well, supporting though.
But she wasn't in it enough. Like she wasn't like
she's breathtaking.
That's fine. But
okay.
I will tell you this right now. You want to do the character breakdown?
You know who's also breathtaking is Gail Gadot. But I think Margot Robbie's like
Gal Gadot.
Gail Gadot. She doesn't sound like that. Come on.
No, she doesn't. But Kate McKinnon was on like Kimmel or Fallon or something. She did an amazing impression of her.
I'm Gal Gadot.
And she's like, Kate. Well, I have a deeper voice, but I can't do like the husky girl voice.
Oh, that's
like,
all right.
It's like, what do you do for enjoyment? And she's like, I like to go to the Maldives with my children and watch them run on the beach. And Kate McKinnon's like, I like to watch Dateline.
fuck.
Quick character breakdown.
Sure.
Hit me with it. So Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie.
Awesome. 6 out of 6 across the board. Emile Hirsch. As Jay Sebring, whatever.
Nothing.
The girl who played Pussycat, who was like the hitchhiker.
That was such a weird scene.
Yeah, that
was such
a
weird scene.
But you had to get him there.
It's more driving. You had to get, I mean, the
you
other
know what
thing
they should have asked for?
What?
A good steering wheel that don't fly off while you're driving.
A small car. No room for mother-in-law.
Why would we make it too small?
So you can't fit your mother-in-law.
Timothy Oliphant.
That
played James
fine.
Stacey, like
he
him.
Fine.
The little girl was good.
She was good.
The guy who played Tex had
awful.
A terrible line. You're right.
Stunk.
Dakota Fanning played Squeaky.
I didn't even She was like, I almost didn't recognize her.
No, you wouldn't.
If I didn't know she was in the movie, I would not have recognized her.
Same. Bruce Dern played George Spawn, which again,
he was pretty good.
As crazy as it is, that's a real story. Like he was a guy who had like a lot where they film movies. And then Charles Manson basically had his girls like have sex with him to have the land. Like it's fucked
so
up.
So like, yeah. But if you're a man,
the real deal.
And Bob Kraft's out there getting handies. You know what I mean?
Bruce Lee
didn't need to be there.
Luke Perry, I know you liked.
Luke Perry didn't need to be there. Steve McQueen, the guy who played Steve McQueen, he actually looked like Steve McQueen at that time.
He did. He was a good Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
I thought Al Pacino was the worst actor in the movie.
Nope. We're getting to it.
Marvin Schwartz.
He's lost his fastball completely.
Completely. And I've always been a De Niro greater than Pacino guy. Always. Always.
Are you still?
Yes. De Niro's
better than Pacino is what you're saying.
De Niro's five best are better than Pacino's five best, and De Niro's resume better than Pacino's resume. However you want to stack it up.
We might have to do hot cold. Like
De Niro, are you more Pacino. Of a Pacino guy?
I don't know, but that would be something to
explore. That's actually a good episode, just De Niro versus Pacino.
Yeah.
All right, good.
And we pick a side and, you know.
I like it. Debate. Right. Embrace debate.
Yes.
Kurt Russell? Always good.
Always plays the same dude.
Yep. Zoe Bell.
I can tell you this. I love Zoe Bell.
How can you not?
But.
Yeah.
I have no training. No. I am a better actor than Zoe Bell right now.
Well, no classical training.
Right now. You've seen me in plays.
She's a stunt woman.
Right.
I have seen you in plays. No, I know.
She can't act for shit.
Well, no, she doesn't have to.
She did in this movie, and she did it poorly.
Michael Madsen plays Sheriff Hackett on Bounty Law. God.
Speaking of losing your fast. Oh, Jesus Christ. Look at the whiskey bloat on that guy.
Well, Reservoir Dogs came out like 20 seconds.
He's got the fucking neckerchief tied around his neck. It almost doesn't go around. It's got this little tiny knot because his neck is so fat.
He needs the extension. The guy who played Charles Manson was barely in the goddamn movie.
I can't wait to see him in Mindhunters, though. I saw that trailer. He looks awesome.
Yeah. Maya Hawke, we mentioned Linda Caspian.
She's great.
Lena Dunham.
Fart face. Absolute fart face. Get off my screen.
And then there's like a million other people. Apparently, Rumor Willis was one of the. I couldn't even tell.
Her career's going great. You didn't even know she was in the movie. Like someone had to tell me that after the fact.
Nah, not great. Not great. But anyway, Ryan, that's going to be it for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think it's unanimous.
No, it's not. We got to keep this going. We got to keep going for another hour and a half.
You want to do a Tarantino episode?
Yeah, let's do a Tarantino episode where
I could do 2 hours and 45 minutes on this. This was so good. I can't wait to see it again.
It was self-indulgent nonsense. After we hang up this call, I will never see or speak of this movie again.
You're wrong. I'm having a viewing party over here. I'm going to fucking Clockwork Orange your eyes.
Don't talk to me on Twitter about it. Don't give me the... Nope.
It's at Arvon D if you want to tell him how good it is.
Don't tell him. I don't give a fuck what you think about this movie. I don't care if you think it's the greatest movie in the world. I don't care if it wins all the Oscars.
It's going to take home all the Academy Awards.
Okay, let me clarify. Just to put it in perspective, I didn't hate the movie.
It sounds like you hated it.
No. And this is what I want to clarify. I didn't hate the movie. I hate the fact that so many people loved it.
I loved it.
You shouldn't have.
I am, Ryan, I am you in shouldn't love have. With it. I you am shouldn't so have. In love you with this movie. Be. I can't think be. Of anything that I didn't like about it. Ryan, there
That's
was a flamethrower.
No, you admitted it. Can to the face. The I'm in for the can to the face. I'm in for a good pooch.
Dude, can to the face was amazing. The dog was amazing.
I think, you know, there's not me, but there's people out there who are now talking about, you know, such casualness that Quentin Tarantino has in respect to his violence towards women. There's a lot of that.
I think he gets a free pass if it's Manson family.
See, you said free pass.
Well, if it's Manson family women, I'm very anti-violence against women. Trust me. But when it comes to the Manson family, go nuts.
Well, someone's coming at you with a knife. I understand. But that Thank was you. Excessive. Banging her head off the mantle, smacking her into the phone.
But you know what was excessive?
What?
Was what the Manson family really did to Sharon Tate.
Sure. And that's, I'm not excusing that, Richard, no. But this is a dramatization in the movie. I'm not saying that's okay.
It's historical fiction, Ryan.
Yeah.
They did a really nice job.
Again, there were about 40 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
That were clear, far and away Oscar worthy scenes.
Yeah. A lot of Oscar buzz.
That being said, there's still 2 hours of this movie. That's bloated, self-indulgent nonsense.
I wish it was longer. That's what she said. But Ryan, agree to disagree.
We're going to agree to disagree. And you know what? I know I'm kind of like stepping in it right now, but like I got a lot of,
no, you're not. I think this is good. And hey, promise me this.
Yeah.
Unlike Jurassic World,
I'm not going to back down from this. I'm not going to back down from this because, again,
I think you're a giant dickhead for your take, but I don't want you to back down. You'd be a coward if you back down.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get the idea with the execution because people are like, you just didn't get it. Like, I know. I get it.
It was the best movie I've ever seen in my life.
I'm glad. I am so glad. I'm so glad that people can see this movie and say like, I love it. And they had such a good time in the movies. You know, that makes me happy that other people are happy.
Yeah. I was very happy about it. Ryan, good. Let me ask you this in all seriousness, fair to say that Rebecca Gayhart is back.
She is, I tell you what,
she's my favorite woman. She's my favorite woman of all time.
I know now,
Apparently gets separated from Eric Dane like last year, which is a shame.
I thought they're divorced.
Yeah,
she's on the market now.
Well, that's good news for your boy.
Is it?
You know what I never
realized? That's too loud.
She was with Brett Ratner for a while. Like that.
Yeah.
Don't.
So was Olivia Munn. So that's like,
dude, he's living the dream.
Oh wait, no. He propositioned her, and she was like, ugh. She's like,
serious question in the history of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think anybody had the 3-year stretch that Rebecca Gayhart did when she went from Scream 2 to Urban Legend to Jawbreaker?
I saw today, I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes and I was looking at all the reviews.
No. Yeah.
I was looking at, I'm getting somewhere with that. Okay. I was looking at all the reviews and on the bottom they have like those lists.
Yeah.
Right.
I love a list.
And they ranked all of the teen comedies from 1999. They ranked them all. There's 19 of them.
19 teen comedies?
Romantic comedy. Jawbreaker was dead last.
Not a romantic comedy.
Well, it was like,
it's a dark comedy.
It was like a high school. Yeah but there
sexy
was like
teen drama, comedy drama.
It was supposed
drama,
to be like Heathers in the drama. 90s, but that movie stunk.
Not true. Rebecca Gayhart, Rose McGowan.
Because Rebecca Gayhart's in it.
She was really good in it too. Let's be honest. She played Julie Freeman. She was very good.
So don't know what Quentin Tarantino's deal is.
We got to figure it out. To me, he's still on the Turbo team. I know you would suggest that he's not.
No, I'm not saying he's not completely off the Turbo team, but this movie is. This movie is a toilet just with a hole just for farts.
And you see the receipt and there it is.
It is. Yeah. It's a joke toilet just for farts. And you can't poop in it.
Quentin's friends with Caleb Went. All right. Ryan, anything else on this movie before we get to the pick of the pod here?
Skip it. Skip the movie.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Go see it twice. Let me know how it is. You can hit us up, Dork Podcast, on both Twitter and the email is dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Ryan,
pick of the pod time? Go see it twice and let us know what you thought next month.
Okay. All right. Pick of the pod time.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
All right, would you like to kick, receive, defer, or you also may defend a goal?
I'm going to make this easy because I've done a lot of talking this week.
Good.
Go see The Boys. Go watch The Boys.
Yeah, that's mine too.
It's awesome.
The Boys TV show is amazing, and The Boys comic book is also awesome. So check them both out. Next week, Rod, you want to do The Boys?
Let's do The Boys.
We're doing The Boys. You know what that means?
Apologies to Jessica Jones.
Lindsay Buckingham again.
Yep.
You got Lindsay Buckingham. Also, I was just going to point out, for Tarantino fans on Netflix currently right now, Pulp Fiction and Glorious Bastards and Hateful Eight are all streaming right now.
All better than Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. Ryan, you can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes. Hashtag dork. Tell a friend. Tell a dork. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. That's very kind. You can follow us on Twitter at Dork Podcast. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/DorkPodcast. You can email us anytime, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. And Davey's occasionally on the old Twitch machine.
We're trying to get it back up and running. I've been at a conference all week. We've been, you know, seeing this movie until odd hours of the night. So it's been a touch and go. It's ready. It's ready to go. We did a soft opening. 3 to 5 people came out and watched them. Very low numbers. We're looking to get it back up and going soon.
But what you don't know is those 3 to 5 people may have had 1,000 people at their house.
They could have.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. You don't
that
know.
Doesn't pay the bills. That doesn't keep the lights on. Doesn't put clothes on my kid's back.
Well, we're doing The Boys season one next week. We're very excited about that. That show, we can both agree, is awesome.
Apologies to Jessica Jones once more.
We'll get there at some point. Yep. Kristen Ritter, we promise. I know we told you we'd do it, and we will. Ryan, you know what we always say here on the podcast? I'm as real as a fucking donut. No? All right.
I'm as real as a donut, motherfucker.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.